Hi there, and welcome to the Classic Red Green Show podcast. I'm your host, AJ, as always. So here we are, and I guess we are back at it here on the podcast. I think we're sitting at episode 8, it looks like. So that's pretty neat that we're back to 8 episodes now. We're already up to that point. The podcast has been out for a year, so that's roughly an episode a month or so. So not quite what I was looking for as far as frequency, but as you always, we're going to be trying to ramp that up here. Hopefully with winter coming in, you know, there's not really much to do. If any of you listening are from the Great White North up here in Canada, you know how much snow we get and all that type of stuff. I mean, it's cold, it's snowy outside. No, who wants to go out? So in my case, we'll make a podcast. So I'm hoping that over the winter, now we got everything settled together here in the new studio, we'll be able to get to doing a lot more podcasts and a lot more different things to kind of expand on the 8 episodes we now have. So I'm pretty excited about this episode. It's getting back kind of in line with where I wanted to go with the show. So I'm really going to get into more of the segment type stuff. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to mail call really, but I do have a little bit of a mail call type segment kind of coming, so that's going to be really exciting to do that as well, and get kind of back into that groove, so we're going to be doing that. Outside of that, we're just going to do our usual stuff. We're going to be reviewing episode 8 of the show called The Guest Elephant from 1991, or season 1, so we're going to get to that a little bit as well. So really, at that point, I think we'll just mention our sponsor right now. The show, as the last few shows have been, has been sponsored by Rail Line Designs. And their slogan, of course, is Get Your Designs on Track. Rail Line Designs has been a great partner for us in our fledgling podcast here, just because they appreciate a lot of the work we do, and we appreciate the work they do. They kind of come from that, you know, red-green sort of sphere of things where they really look to do different decor items and design items using everyday, you know, recycled products and different things like that. So, you know, perfect, sort of, you know, type of stuff that they would produce would be just ideal for red, or definitely in the lodge for sure. So chances are, if you're a fan of the show, you're probably going to be liking a lot of what they're doing right now. So if you're really want to help us out, help them out by visiting them on Facebook. If you just type in Rail Line Designs, it'll send you right there where you need to go. Or you can have a look at their website. If you just Google Rail Line Designs, you're going to come right into their website. It's on wixsite.com, and they have a curtain sale right now just for Labor Day. So if you want to get on there, you can get something like, for example, their Rail Spike Ball Opener is $5 off, so that's a pretty good sale, it looks like. And that they seem to have quite a few of the coat racks also on sale right now. So Rail Line Designs, check them out. They've been gracious enough to help us out, so please help them out as well, and hopefully this podcast can keep going for a while longer. So I guess we'll get right to the news, and ideally I'd like to have in our news segments, you know, some kind of flashy sound effect or something. We don't have that. Maybe later. Maybe we can get some money. Hopefully we can get to that. So, yeah, we're going to get right to the news. So, as far as the news goes, the one thing I can tell you is that the Possum Lodge podcast, so that's the podcast put out by Steve Smith, and encompasses a lot of the actual characters from the show. It's the new product that they're kind of putting out right now. It's kind of a great product for them because, you know, a lot of the actors are starting to get a little older now, especially with COVID. A lot of them are, you know, maybe in Canada, and it's just harder to get to the States or vice versa. So they can sort of do this, you know, kind of live, local, planned out, sit down and do it kind of thing. A lot easier for them to do it, so it's sort of a great thing for us as fans because we're able to get some of this new content, and you know, they're able to do it fairly easily. From what I've been hearing, there's been some good support, so I'm hopeful that this podcast will go on for quite a while. Right now, they're sitting at episode 3. It just was released at the end of August. Presumably, the episode 4, following up with that, will be released here at the end of September. And they have 3 levels of memberships, and that's how you could get on and listen to the podcast. So, have a look at that as well. If you want information on that, they have a Patreon page for it, or you can just go right to the redgreen.com website, and they have right there front and center, so you can't miss that either. As far as some of the other news, I recently discovered that ET Canada, back in June, was doing this kind of cool little thing where they're bringing back the cast of 5 fan-favorite Canadian television series with a week-long kind of reunion thing. So the series were really cast from, you know, the 90s and 2000s, you know, popular shows. Some of them I'm hoping that you will have heard or have seen before. I know there's a few that I've seen. The first one was the popular series from the 90s, Ready or Not. Very big with a lot of the younger kids. It was something I watched when I that age, growing up then in the 90s. They had Train 48, which is more of a early to mid 2000s. Not one I particularly remember very well, but certainly sort of remember it being on TV, or just sort of, I guess, kind of like, you know, when you flip channels, that type of thing. Same with Falcon Beach. It just ran for 2 years. It was on ABC Family. I don't even know if we had ABC Family back then. Don't remember it at all. And North of 60 from the 90s. Very, very popular, well-known Canadian show as well. They were also involved in this little project. And, of course, on Thursday, June 4th, the Red Green Show was there. So that was a pretty cool little you know, collection for fans. I'm not sure if they have the whole show on YouTube yet, or at all, or if it's going to go there. But if you want, you can try looking at ET Canada and see if you can come up with the airing from June 4th. They may do some sort of reboot or rerun of it at some point in the next little while. I'm assuming that a lot of the COVID has sort of put the hindrance on some of their, you know, fresh programming. So keep watching ET Canada, and hopefully you'll also get to see that as well. So that's really all we have for the news. There's not really a lot going on right now. It's summer. Most people are, you know, off doing whatever they're doing, or just getting back now into September, into kind of a routine. Kids are going back to school for the first time in 6 months. A lot going on there. So, I mean, there's not really a lot going on in kind of the red-green world, or, say, you know, news on some of the actors doing different projects or something that are new. I know that a lot of the, obviously, in September, we have a lot of different shows that are coming on TV, some new stuff. They also obviously will do Sweeps Week and all that type of stuff. So keep watching, see what new shows. I'm sure that some, you know, Red Green alumni are going to be on some new shows coming through. So have a look like that. If you happen to see anything, or see anybody, or spot anything, come onto Facebook, onto the Red Green Fans website, and just post that on there. We're trying to see if we notice anything. So if you are able to do that, that would be really helpful. I guess for kind of the mail call today, since I don't really have any real big messages or something coming through, I can give you a few more comments on the Possum Lodge podcast. This was something that in August I threw up on the Red Green Fans Facebook page just to see, as I'll read it here, has anyone had a chance to check out the new podcast yet? So Naaman Clark just mentioned that they're really enjoying it. Thumbs up. Mark Elliott had said no, they haven't had it yet. Jimmy Ball mentioned that they missed the show quite a bit, and Anthony Lacourte is going to check it out. So, you know, it's still new, it's still fresh. It looks like there's some split decisions, but, you know, people are starting to get into it, which is pretty exciting. I'm hoping that, you know, more people get into it. Obviously, you know, maybe paying for it might be a bit of a hindrance. If that's the case, you know, this podcast is always free. So, mind you, of course, if you're listening to this, you probably already know that. But tell your friends anyway, because you never know, they might enjoy it too. I will mention something. Dorothy from the Facebook group also had been throwing out this little thing, just wondering about if we could post onto the Facebook page, you know, a simple question for a poll, and she's just curious to see what kind of results we can get. So she's looking to say, what's your favorite adventures with Bill? So I don't really have any data or anything right now. That's going to go on to the Red Green Fans Facebook group. So if you're a part of the group, or if you're not a part of the group, you know, please jump on there and be a part of the group. But if you're a part of the group and you see that when I post it, jump in there and give your thoughts. And in a future podcast, we're going to kind of summarize those. So the one thing I can say about that is she volunteered her favorite episode, Adventures with Bill segment, and she thought that her favorite was the one where he was a sumo wrestler. So again, a great particular segment, and thanks for Stan Pollard on this one. He dug around and he mentioned that it was from episode 19 of the show. Actually, sorry about that. I mentioned my favorite one was the one where Red and Bill go orienteering, and that was the one from episode 19 of the show. The one that she was talking about was actually the 300th episode and the last particular one. So, kind of cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone else enjoyed as well. So, like I said, get onto the Facebook page and give me a shout as far as what you think is your favorite segment. And particularly why, because I'm also curious to see why people like certain segments. You know, what triggers that, what do they enjoy. So, that'll be pretty neat to see in a future podcast. Look for it. Definitely check back in and kind of we'll see where it goes. The only other news, kind of newsiest segment, is just the, you know, my webpage, classofredgreen.weebly.com. I'm going to continue to do a little bit of updates to that. I've been getting some more tidbits and doing some more digging, so I'm going to be adding some more items for that. So keep checking in with that. We found a little bit of information on locations of the show that would be of value, I think, to a lot of the fans. A little bit of an update, so, you know, have a look at that, and keep checking with the website. I'm starting to get back into doing routine updates there, so information will definitely be provided forward. Well, looking at that, I don't think there's really a whole lot more, so I guess we'll get towards our episode of the podcast here. We're going to do, again, kind of a new thing. So it's going to be the TV guide summary of the of the episode. Yeah. So, as with that, so this one is Season 1, Episode 8. The Guest Elephant is what it's titled. And the synopsis for it is very simple. It's Red is upset with Harold for booking an elephant on the show. Pretty simple. Pretty crazy. When you think about it. So this would have aired. So that's the interesting thing. To get the air dates is like hit and miss, believe it or not. We know the original, you know, Season 1, Episode 1 aired January 4th, 1991. I am presuming that this would have been approximately 8 weeks later. So let me see here. I'm going to see if I can do that in a way where I can actually get it to. Okay. So January 4th, 1991, that's a Friday. Oops, hold on. Six on the 8th. So I'm assuming that if we have an air date, it's probably Friday, February 22nd, 1991 for episode 8. So if you were alive then, where were you then? You know, where were you when that episode came out? Which I have to say, if you do remember, write into the website, write into me, and just let me know. I'm also curious to see, you know, kind of a blast from the past. You know, what was it like in 1991? You know, were you watching the show? That would be pretty interesting, I would think. So, yeah, by all means, write it in. I'll mention it on the show in a future episode, a future podcast. And I'm just curious to see. So have a look there. As far as the cast that's going to be in the show in this one, the only thing that's mentioned here, and I'm looking actually on IMDb, just for a quick kind of summary of the cast, is Red, obviously, Harold, Bill, and it looks like Dougie, so we're going to get Ian Thomas involved in this one as well, so there'll be a few segments of that, so it should be a pretty interesting watch for us. So without that, without going further into that, if you want to go to Google and just or YouTube and just type in Red Green Show Episode 8, should be the first thing that comes up. I'm not noticing like some of the earlier ones that we did, the earlier podcasts, where you'd look up and there'd be like two different versions of the episode that were off by like 2 seconds or something like that. I'm not seeing that here, so it looks like Red Green TV has cleaned this one up anyway, and they've just got the single episode that was posted way back on May 30th, 2012. So have a quick go at that if you want to follow along with us here at the same time of the commentary. You know, I'll let you have a pause here for a minute, and then you can have a look and kind of cue everything up. And if you're just gonna listen along, you know, maybe you want to fast forward 10 seconds. So I'll just give you a little bit of a wait here, and you will queue it up. Okay, so I guess we are ready to go. So if you want to press play, and we'll do it at the same time, and we'll get going. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and play. And then we're well underway here. There's a classic classic Candyman corner right there. I was wondering that one segment with Harold coming into kind of the credits there. Like, where was that from? Like, which segment was that filmed in? I don't know. All the guys at Lodge. Yeah, it still boggles me that they went with the newer opening after season 2 aired. They just retroactively went back and did it, instead of just running with what they originally had. Because there's no way they had, you know, season 2 footage for season 1's opening. Like, it's just not going to happen. Oh, I remember this. This opening's kind of cool with Harold kind of doing a bit of a... Here, I'll turn it up, but doing a little bit of a song there for him. Just keeps going. There's one that's coming up, too, that's really great, because he's just talking and talking, and Red comes out and kind of looks at him and says, like, are we not going here? And just keeps talking, totally oblivious. So look for that in a future episode as well. I'm not blaming anyone. Yeah, right to Harold.
This is Harold. He's the producer and director of the show.
This means I do a lot of this.
That's in lieu of content.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, I don't think she'd blame me for what happened.
Well, Harold, you're the one who decided it'd be fun and outdoorsy to have a trained elephant on the show.
See, you're right out of it.
Not trained.
The lodge looks good as new.
How about the smell, Harold?
The other cool thing here is on the shoulder strap, like the Harold is actually starting to wear off as if he had it forever. So I'll have to see about that one, because I know that's like the shoulder strap that Steve Smith had in like Smith & Smith and some of the earlier shows. So I wonder if they just had some kind of cheap foam and quickly wore off or something. But
they weren't little.
Right to the campfire song.
When the sun goes down, that's when a bunch of us can be found down by the campfire like so many elves, sitting here, standing there, scratching ourselves.
Not at all where you thought it was going, eh?
Scratching ourselves. Be sure and wash your hands before lunch.
And then there's Harold at the end of it, just with the one finger. Hilarious. Right through a field. See, here's something to think about, right? The Hamilton, like a lot of places, has really grown considerably over the last, you know, 30 years. You have to wonder, is that field even there anymore? Is that houses?
A good start is to go with a lightweight.
Most of the things I was wondering. Oh, the Roadhog. This is a classic. And the cool part about the Roadhog itself is that the go-kart was always seen prominently in the front section of the lodge in all the future seasons. That's where a lot of people maybe haven't seen some of the earlier episodes. That's where they're going to kind of recognize or remember from. The cool thing is he's got like lawnmower wheels, like actual like Long Boy, old school lawnmower. That's got to be so bumpy. That was actually going to be used. It's like a soapbox for every kind of.
My model boats and what have you. But I phoned the JetX people and they.
And then you got a little like grab handle instead of a wheel or something.
So I had to come up with the next best thing. A fire extinguisher. So what I do here is I can squeeze the trigger, fires the extinguisher, and I'm holding the nozzle out the back. And
I'll tell you, the cool part about this one is, you know, watching this for the first time as a kid, you honestly believed that you could do this. And not saying I tried it, but we wanted to try it. You know, and again, as an adult, it almost, I'm just kind of like, maybe that might actually work. Of course it doesn't. But, you know, it looks cool. Also, like, he just keeps going on as if, like, it's, at the end it kicks in or something. Kind of a shocked look in his face. Just, that's great acting right there. What's really cool about this segment is you see a lot of the kind of the background stuff, you know, the old TVs, the old trunks, old equipment or whatever. Wow. You don't usually see because the workbench is sort of covering it.
The horsepower of the engine. So what I've done is I've attached four fire extinguishers to the
unit. I like how they're also, like, the ends are just sticking out everywhere.
I've used the handyman secret weapon here, duct tape, to position everything, and I've put a scarf on as well because this CO2 gets
also, you see right behind him, there's two, like, tennis rackets or badminton rackets. I like how they're both placed together, just, like, real neatly right there. Despite everything else, absolutely everywhere, all over the place, neatly just right there.
Until next time, remember,
that's, you know, I wonder if that was on purpose. That's pretty funny.
3, 2, 1.
Still a piece of wood.
We'll be right back.
You see the cord down there? It's funny, it was really clever kind of filming because they sort of cut, like before, they had cut way past the front of the nose so you could see everything, right? And of course, in the last segment, they obviously had somebody with kind of a rope attached to the front, like tugging him, but they don't, they cut it just short of that so you only see like half the nose. And again, as a kid, it's not something I would have picked up on. You know, now I've seen it like 50,000 times. It really stands out. But still, it's neat. It was a neat effect.
North wind? No, it's your kid's nose. Anyway,
we're going to see what that elephant.
Last week's show, you're a very fortunate person.
I guess so.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? I mean, mind you, we were planning to renovate the lodge anyway.
So that was the thing, you missed last week's show. They had nothing about an elephant on there.
This show is about life here at the lodge, you know, with our regular guests and what have you. And how we ever ended up blindfolded and walking an elephant is beyond
me. The cool thing about this show I've always thought of is that they constantly break that fourth wall.
Seeing eye elephant.
And I get that it's a show where it's sort of like they know they're on TV. But in a way, it feels like it never should have been, right?
You should talk.
Which again, maybe it's just me or something, but it just feels like it's one of those shows that, you know, it should be just following them around or something, but it just, you know, I don't know.
Here's one of my favorite guests on the show. He's not gray, he doesn't have a trunk, and he knows what a bathroom is for.
Yeah, that about says it all right there. Again, clever writing.
You'll never forgive me, will ya?
I'll forgive you when the smell disappears.
Clever writing.
You'll never forgive me, will ya?
Oh. Right to
Dougie. Dougie,
do you see that address there is like 29 Ronniewood Street in Hamilton?
It's gotta be big. You know, for competition, if you're gonna crush cars, you need a big truck. But it's a sport. It's like any other sport, like tennis.
I'm gonna see if I can find that. I'm really curious. Ringwood. You know, it looks like it might be Ringwood or something.
That's my machine, and she's got to be big. And you never, the thrill of competition is wonderful. You know, I mean, you just wondered how many cars you're gonna crush on a given day.
Donniewood. If anyone actually can pinpoint that, I'd be curious to see where that is.
We're not talking about
bunch of lunatics tearing around a shopping mall parking lot, flattening families and hands here.
Oh, no. You can
also, like, he's just kind of sitting up there, you know. If you think about, like, in the 90s here, like Home Improvement, like different shows, like real manly shows, like this is just screaming man. Talking about that, crushing cars.
We don't want none of that. And also, it'd be very difficult charging admission to something like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, it's because of these. I'm glad you brought this point up, Red, because the International Truck and Tractor Association, in cooperation with your fire department and I believe the SPCA was in there, they came up with this set of rules. And,
oh, that's a good idea, sure.
I got a copy of it right here.
You got the rules right here.
I also like he's got the copy of the rules. It's just like a little a little piece of paper or something.
Rules. Well, yeah, and then on the back there, we got Miss Truck and Tractor Poll 1991 with an entire list of all the events of the year.
Hilarious.
God.
Yeah, there's a lot of events.
Doesn't seem like many rules.
Oh, that's it.
I mean, I do have the rules memorized if you want to go into this interview a little more in depth. Would you care to do that?
All right, yeah.
All right, well, rule number one. Brett, there's your rule number one.
Helmets.
Everybody in this sport got to wear a helmet.
Oh, this is great here.
We're talking the mechanics. And actually, we distribute helmets to the audience. The entire audience are all completely helmeted. Now, we also encourage the use of helmets at home for the viewers as well. Now, rule number two, a very important rule actually, is no running over the people in the audience. You abuse that rule and people quit coming.
Fair enough.
Sounds like kind of vague, you know, that's more of a guideline.
See, and I think, if I can update you too, I think, that the,
it has to be able to encompass,
but that address is 29 Hollywood Street in Hamilton, which is
a big line of,
that's a subdivision, so I'm not really sure if that's a real... a real address, or if that's, right, you know, I'm just misreading along. So, if you're somebody who's listening in, like you know Hamilton or something, see if you can kind of pinpoint that for me. So I'd be really curious to see that.
So you just have the two
and see what connection it has to the show. Because clearly, there's a connection with the
which is if.
Obviously the monster truck here, which, like I said, we found, but it was up in Owen Sound, I believe.
But you know, I could be serious just for a minute. Red, since I've been in this sport, I have met probably some of the finest human beings I've ever come across, and some of their trucks are even better.
I'll have to update that. I'm pretty sure we found it. We sent so it ended up in like somewhere outside of Owen Sound for a while, like probably around the early 2000s. Because somebody had messaged me on the website, the Classic Red Green Show website, and they mentioned that they recognized it, and it was something from they kind of grew up in that area, I guess, and somebody they knew had it at their house or something like that, or they owned it or something. I'm not sure where it is now, so we're tracking it down for a while. I don't think I've updated it yet, but to come.
I remember the day when the railroad was king. The big wheels made rolling thunder. We were treated like freight, arriving 7 hours late. I'm personally glad they're all going under.
Oh, Uncle Red, how excellent. I was just about to tell the viewers that you're going to answer their mail in your own inimitable way.
My what?
I love this.
Your own inimitable way.
Wait, what?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? You've never heard of the word inimitable? You never heard that before?
Well, I've heard it before. I just never knew what it meant.
Weren't you at all curious what it meant? Didn't you think to go look it up in a dictionary?
You don't know what it means either, do you?
Yes, I do. I looked it up. It means recherche. Okay. Our first letter today asks for some advice from you, Uncle Red. It says, Dear Red, I'm in the market for a new car. Or new to me. I like used cars. I guess I'm a bit of an aficionado. Aficionado?
Aficionado.
What does that mean?
It means you can't afford a new car.
Wow, Ray
Sherry. Wow.
Any tips for a potential car buyer?
All right, that's a good one, Harold. I think when you're buying a used car, intimidation is the key. Don't just kick the tires.
This is great tips for you if you're looking to buy a new car.
Kick the headlights in, kick the dashboard.
What are you doing when you do that?
Well, you're trying to get the cost of the car down, and a car with kick marks all over it has got to be overpriced.
Also, I guess we can assume then the proper footwear is required.
Absolutely. I'd say that proper footwear is a key, as the intimidation is. And another thing is you want to ask them if you can take it for a test drive. If they say no, then I'd wonder about that.
Yeah, I would. I mean, that's great advice. That is. It's common sense.
They had scotch taped a couple of extra spark plugs on the engine to try to convince me that the V6 was a V8.
That's impressive.
Oh, yeah, how'd you do that?
Well, they fell off when I kicked the engine.
So kicking is important.
Well, it shows that you know cars. You know, I would even kick the salesman if you have to.
Oh, no. Wait a second, Uncle Red. I think you've gone over the top on that one. We do not want to advocate violence.
Yeah, well, all right. No, don't kick the salesman.
Right.
You know, but you might want to check the instrument panel. If you look at the odometer, you see a bunch of marks from a claw hammer.
Yeah.
It's a 10-year-old car with, say, 19 miles on it.
That's a little suspect.
I question that.
Yeah, that's really good advice. That's something to remember.
Yeah.
Uncle Red, I was all, is like there like a good time or a bad time to buy a car?
Yeah, never buy a car at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Fair enough.
Like North American cars versus domestic cars. I mean like Japanese cars versus imported cars.
With the Japanese cars, you get more features, but with the American cars, you get more metal. And when you think about it, you know, we're all going to have head-on collisions now and then.
It's funny, because, like, so you're better to give back up then, I definitely could see that. Today, not momentum. So much.
I hope that answer all our viewers' questions.
Maybe. You know, maybe to a degree.
But
probably not. Oh, here we go. Adventures of Bill. Launching a canoe, I believe. I kind of remember
we
this
have
one.
Our, outdoor expert Bill with us this week on a
poll. Also, like, he refers to him as an outdoor expert.
Gonna teach us about canoeing.
It's kind of, that's the only time in the series I recall that, and
you know, these days when the cast now this is the paddle measurement technique.
I didn't even know that either. I mean, that's short, if for anyone who plays hockey, that's sort of how you would do for most people. How you measure a hockey stick, maybe you cut it, but I never knew that for paddling. That's what you do.
We have lots of paddles.
You like that little duck in the back? Almost looks like a little tugboat there.
What Bill does is he
remote control or something.
Maybe
I wanted that as a kid. That's why I always look at that or something.
No problem.
I was like that.
Well, he wants to show, now he showed you how to get it from the side. That was the end shot. It was the side shot. But here again,
this location is one that's also alluded to me. The big dock in the back, and the fact that there's larger boats, and the fact that I believe Steve Smith had a sizable sailboat, unlike Ontario. I was like that too. He just kind of jumps and gone. It's a good-sized marina. You see how wide open it is in the back? And I feel that, and that bridge kind of, that bridge looking there, it almost looks like the bridge on the QEW. So my understanding is that this should be Hamilton Harbor, but haven't totally confirmed it.
He brings the canoe back in, and we now have a week's supply of drinking water. And we'll clean that up later on. Don't worry about that. So now Bill's going to show us the various paddling techniques. Now, what you want to do is stick your right arm out there and then grip it right where it gets fat, you know. Reminds me of a date I was on one time. But anyway, and then put the other hand over the end. And no, there's something wrong here.
Switched her up, I guess.
That doesn't look right either. No, it's fair play, you know. And now he's just using the dock to show you just a practice. Oh.
Not quite.
We do go through a lot of paddles in a season, but eventually it gets to the point where the student, you know, has to have his first solo flight. And I was pretty excited about this, and
I think I was doing a heck of a job. I didn't hit the dock. I got moving pretty good there, you know.
Yeah, I've had this anywhere. This is probably the Hamilton Yacht Club.
You know, in retrospect, I think Bill should have taught me how to turn this thing around, too. Oh, well. He's fine.
It is winter. Your breath forms huge clouds that billow out and block your face.
So if you're looking for a location on the show to maybe visit, you're in the Hamilton area, try the Hamilton Yacht Club, because that is exactly where that last Adventures with Bill segment was.
Every week, we have Harold here come up with a viewpoint, give you some insight on what the young people of today are thinking about, and that's probably not the worst thing you'll ever see on television.
Probably not.
Okay, okay. Huh? Pixie sticks. I remember one time, I was a little boy, right? I read in the back of a comic book, you could order, like, all these pixie sticks. You know what they are, right? You're like, okay, pixie sticks are like straws. Right, and they're closed at both ends, but they're filled with, like, powdered sugar.
Do they even sell Pixie Sticks anymore? Because I can't say that I remember seeing them at all.
They really are. They're really good. And I read in the book that you could order, like, 1,000 of them for $10. Great deal, right? So I get my best friend. I get my only friend, Larry Gorman.
There you go. So it's funny, because, like, for friends, they don't really talk about his friends again. So I guess his only friend is Larry Gorman, who he's talking about in this episode.
So we do this. And then we save all our money. We had money. We just ordered them. Oh, yeah. We just ordered them. About a month later, we got this box from Racine, Wisconsin. We open it up. 1,000 pixie sticks. Oh, bonus day or what, right? So we start eating all these things. We're sucking all the sugar out of them. Like, our faces are all puckering and everything. It was great. We kept doing this until I got sick, and he hyperventilated an entire lung of powdered sugar. Great day. There's no real point to the story. I just wanted to relate that to you. I probably should have sung or something. Hey?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Dumbo and I will be right back.
Still on them?
Me that because I work for Peanuts.
Paid me well on that one.
Why not?
We got our segment where they're kind of walking there. Something that's kind of a neat segment.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Got a little stud or a jewel or something.
No,
I don't mean him. I mean the earring. What is with that?
That's fashion. That's the best.
Is that a sexual orientation thing?
It's kind of a neat thing because, like, I guess earrings were starting to really catch on the mid to late 80s or by now, like, real mainstream by 91. So,
pirates had earrings.
Whereas today, I guess earrings are sort of like, you know, not a big deal.
You have to go out on the weekend, you don't want everybody to see the hole in your ear.
Well, there, that's like, what do you do, you know, when you have to go to a family event, like a funeral or something?
Well, you put a fancy one in, you wouldn't wear just like anything.
I suppose that's true. I guess that's what people do.
You mean you're telling me that an earring is not a female?
Not necessarily, no. I was thinking of getting one.
Really?
Yeah, I was playing with your stud setter the other day. I pierced my finger and I thought,
that would be brutal.
That looks silly, an earring on my finger.
Well, you sure don't need another hole in your head.
Oh, I guess not. Right to that feel again. So I can feel. I bet you I could find that. They have transmission towers right in the back. So that's probably where he shoots a lot of those outdoor handyman corner segments and later on in the series.
Harold, come on over here. I know that you think I'm making a real big to-do out of this elephant thing, and that you think I'm mean, and I'm just doing it to ridicule you, make you cry on television, that kind of thing. And I know you think I should just lighten up and maybe what you did wrong, and believe me, there was plenty of it, maybe you thought you were doing the best thing for the show.
Just giving it to
me. Maybe what you did was out of maybe caring about your work. And I know that you like me. I know you're very fond of me, Harold, and I know that you look up to me and you really respect my judgment. So I've decided to kind of just let it go as a warning at this point, Harold. But I want you to remember what happened here. And from now on, I want you to come to me before you make these big decisions, all right?
I will. Yeah, thanks very much.
All right. Okay, no, I'm only doing this because you promised me that you weren't the ones who gave the laxatives to the elephant, right?
That's right. That's what
we
mean.
Yeah, but I mean, do you honestly believe Harold would do that?
All right, so if my wife is watching,
instead of Moose Thompson.
Thank you for taping the show tonight. And when I come home, I'm going to stay up a bit late, and I'm going to watch this part back. And if I see Harold laughing behind me, he is dead meat.
Classic. See, again, such good writing. Who would think to do that?
It's probably Harold's last show. And the whole gang up here at the lodge. Until next time, keep your stick on the ice.
I just like the sick look, and then he kind of laughs here, smiles a little bit. Because he's, you know, he's in for a penny, in for a pound at this point. Very, very clever. And you have to think, wow, like, imagine him getting away with that. And then the other cool thing with this episode, as you can see, is that the ending credits, they're literally using every wipe that they can do. And this was something that was unique to this episode. I don't think they did it any other time. I kind of like it. I don't know about you. If you like it or you don't like it, write into the website. I'm curious. Maybe we'll talk about that in a future podcast. So that's it. That's episode 8, The Guest Elephant. So how about that? How did you find it? Yeah, you know, again, it was probably not my favorite episode of the season, but I would say it was pretty good. A little slower pace because you only had the one segment with Dougie. Everything else was usually Red, Harold, or Bill. I mean, the normal stuff, but, you know, not too bad. So, a little bit different. You can tell here, at the, you know, especially at the ending credits and that, they're really starting to get into a bit of a groove, but they're also trying a few different things, seeing what sticks. Which is also why this particular episode's really important, I think, in the season, because it's part of how they're sort of learning, developing, you know, seeing what they can do with it. You know, it really sets them up on everything that they're going to do moving forward, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, kind of a neat episode. Definitely worth watching. So, you know, it's kind of fun to do that here. So, yeah, like I said, if you were able to find out the address that was on Doogie's truck today, send it into the website. That would be a huge help, because I'll put that on the website, and I'll credit your name on the website if you want. So, yeah, I think that's really about where we're at today. I think we'll shut her down at this point. But I do want to say a few things here. Number one is thanks again to our sponsors, Rail Line Designs. I do want to give a little plum out there for our Red Green Fans Facebook group. If you're a fan of the show, you're a fan of the podcast, get on there, join up the group. It's a great place. A lot of great people are on it, so good community of fans. If you also like the show, there's also my Weebly page, the Classic Red Green Show website. If you Google that, it'll take you right there where the top hit. Go on there and check out some of the stuff I've been up to, check out some of the new information I've been finding. You know, if you find anything that is of interest or you know something about, fire it away in there. I've got a page dedicated to contacting myself and bringing that information forward. So, you know, please feel free to do that, because it makes my life easier, and it's kind of neat to interact with some of the other fans and share some of this knowledge that has, you know, most of the fans are very interested in, and, you know, one or two people maybe only know. I want to use my website to really document a lot of this, so, you know, by all means, we really welcome that. So that's about where we're going to leave off for tonight. I'm hoping that we're going to put another show in the can here in the next week or two and hopefully get back to a fairly routine schedule, so keep looking for us there with a new episode. Keep telling your friends, getting more people to listen to the podcast. I want to keep making it into something special, so I'm going to try to do some more interactive stuff, which is really why I want to push the Facebook page and the website, because a lot of the stuff I'm going to be doing is going to be on there, and I'm going to look for your opinion, bring you onto the show that way. So please keep pushing us through there. The bigger I can make the show, the more likely I can get some of the some interesting guests on the show and maybe a future show. And ideally, I'd like to get some of the actors on the show. So we'll see if we're able to do that as we really grow the show. So with that, I'll shut it down for the night. And thanks for being with us. And as always, keep your stick on the ice.